Good morning, everyone. This year is dedicated to the memory of my father, Tzvi Meir ben Moshe Yonatan, Zichrono Levracha, Lechayei Olam Haba. What I want to speak about today is a very touchy topic because it goes to the core of many people who say the various lines on the top of the source sheet. If you look at the top of the source sheet, you see that many people come home on a Friday night, thank you, and say Shalom Aleichem to the angels, and then they say Boachem LaShalom, come on in. There's no problem with that. No one has an issue. The issue begins in the third stanza. What do we say in the third stanza of Shalom Aleichem, those that say it? Baruchuni LeShalom. What's Baruchuni LeShalom?
Bless me.
Bless me. Who are we asking to bless us? Obviously the angels. All right. I can ask a human being to bless me. After all, the Gemara says, Aliyeh Birkat Hediyot. So maybe, you know, I won't go to the gas pipe for that. However, what do we usually pray to? To God. Now let's go continue. We come to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is preceded and proceeded, not proceeded Yom Kippur, but preceded and proceeded Rosh Hashanah. And before Yom Kippur, we say Slichot. In the Slichos of the Ashkenazim, at the end, as you all know, there's Yud Gimel Midot, and we say it basically together. And after the Vidui, we go on our own. Everyone remembers? Within one of the passages that we usually say, it says what's number two on the source sheet. Machnisei Rachamim, those that bring in mercy. Hachnisu Rachameinu, bring in our mercy. Lifnei Bala Rachamim, before the one that gives mercy. Who's the Machnisei Rachamim? Who brings in the rachamim from here to there? Who brings it into God's holy chamber?
These messengers.
The angels. And we go on and we say, Mashmiyei Tfila, Mashmiyei Tza'aka, Machnisei Dima. We're basically davening to angels to bring our prayers to God. And if that's not enough,
you have an illusion also in Kedusha. On Shabbat.
What's the illusion in Kedusha?
We're mimicking the angels.
We're mimicking the angels, but we're not praying to the angels. Mimicking? That's great. I love to imitate angels.
Didn't Yaakov say to the angel, bless me?
Yeah, good question. Okay. So here, the first stanza I can maybe live with. The second stanza is already problematic. The third one is problematic on top of problematic. Because before the Chazan begins Musaf, there is a beautiful prayer called Hinini He'ani Mimas, which basically says I'm a nothing, I shouldn't be the chazan, but they put me up here, so I got no choice, I got to do the job. And many chazanim have said it out loud, even though it's a private prayer to the chazan, and there's various ways of saying it, and you can go online and see chazanim, I would say, getting to the epitome of their chazanus in this particular stanza. Now, in this paragraph of Hinini He'ani Mimas, towards the end it says the following words. All the angels that deal with prayer, let him take my prayer and bring it to you, God, and make it public in front of you, make it a thing in front of you. That's already praying to angels. Now we pray to God and not to angels. Now why am I so bothered by this? Because of a beautiful Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi, if you want to motivate people to daven, quote to them this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi Masechet Brachot, beginning of the ninth chapter, says, Rav Yudan Omar Mishmei Didei. Rav Yudan said, in the name, apparently, of himself, Basar Vadam, a human being. Im balo eitzara, eno nichmatz etzlo pitom, eno bava omad lo pitkosha pitrono, vekorel avdo leben avdo, vahu omer, ish ploni omed al petach hatzerecha. You don't just walk into someone's house and say, hi, I'm here. Correct?
Yes.
There's a protocol. You knock, you say hello, how are you? God forbid if the person actually answers the question of how are you. Oh my gosh, you're going to be there. You didn't really mean to say how are you, but somehow it came out of your mouth. Okay. We continue. Shema machnisa v'shema menicho. Maybe he'll let you in and maybe not. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. With God, this is not the case. Im ba lo al adam tzara. If a person has something he has to pray for, what does he do? Lo yitzaveach, shouldn't scream. Lo leMichael v'lo leGabriel. Ela li yitzaveach v'ani onel miyad. Let him come and scream out to me. Don't go through my angels. Don't go through my secretary. Don't go through the administrator of the office. Directly. We speak to God directly. No, that's beautiful. I love it. Now, if it was just this beautiful Gemara, I can speak to God correctly, I'd say, okay, I could speak to God correctly and directly, but I can also speak to angels. Why do I have to only speak to God? Now comes the Rambam and ruins it for us. Many people after davening say the animamins of the Rambam. How many animamins, fundamentals of faith, does he have?
13.
Mm-hmm. 13. So the Rambam says in fundamental of faith number 5, Shehu yitale God asher hu ra'u lo dover lo mo v'farsamet gulato mashmauto. You have one God who is amazing and bigger than everyone else. The anal sin king, the mashal matamemeno bemitziut min amelachim. The anal sin otam emtsaim lagia behem elav, ela klapav yitale yechavnu amachshavot v'yanichu kol mashazulato. According to the Rambam, we are only allowed to speak to God. Not as angels, directly to God. Now this is already problematic because this is the fundamental of our faith. So therefore, according to the Rambam, if you go ahead and you speak to angels, angels bring my tefillah to you, angels bless me, it's a huge problem against fundamental number 5 of our faith. So the Yerushalmi says it's a big privilege, but the Rambam says it's a big prohibition to go ahead and to daven to angels. It's not just a privilege to daven to God. It's a prohibition to daven to angels. Shutziach Yitzchak was written by the rabbi of Pressburg, Rav Yitzchak Bar Ishaya Yisachar Ber Weiss. So Rabbi Weiss says in his Shutziach Yitzchak, Ha'ech ma'atirim ha'chazanim, tem mitpalalu b'yamim ha'noraim, shekol ha'malachim sheim ba'alei tfilot yavil tfilati lifnei chisei chavodecha. You know, I'm sitting here in Pressburg. I have the Ashkenazic sitter of the machzer of the time, maybe Birnbaum, before Birnbaum, whatever it was. And I'm sitting here, and the Chazan, on the holiest day of the year, is saying no more, no less than
angels,
angels help me with my davening. How can that be? You know, if you want to sin, there's a good way to sin. You get a Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos, and you eat treif that you cooked on Shabbos. Like, that would be the ultimate, right? So if you want to sin, I would always say, all right, you know, a little Lashon Hara here, a little bit, you chisel away a law over there. In shul, on Rosh Hashanah, on the holiest day of the year, the Musaf, the epitome, the Chazan gets up there and sins. Hi, I'm here. Let me first sit and daven to angels before I start.
Could it be
not exactly a good idea.
Can this be an allegory?
Allegory for what?
Question of what is the nature of what is the nature of an angel? Do they actually exist?
Right.
I mean, what is the?
We'll get to it. We'll get to
like
it.
A part of the show.
But right now we find a Yerushalmi and a Rambam saying that it's prohibited for us to daven to angels. And indeed, the Siach Yitzchak goes on in my machzer. It says, "Bein hatzkiyot meduvavim gam ken shamalachim yamitzu tov be'adenu." I don't know if you've ever seen it, but in certain machzorim, there's 30 tkiot before Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, and in between, there's a little prayer. May the angels bring our tkiot before you, God. Between every set of 333. So tkiah shvar and truah tkiah 3 times, there's a little prayer there. Once again, we dive into angels. And he goes on and on with all the various examples, and he says, this is a big problem. Halo ikar zayin miyud gimel ikarim. Fundamental number 7, I have it as 5, but he has it at 7. Sherak Hashem levado, ra'ui la'avdo v'lit palel. You can only daven to God. So what is all these prayers we say? Once every week, Shalom Aleichem, Baruchuni l'shalom, Machnisei Rachamim before Rosh Hashanah and after Rosh Hashanah, and not to mention, Hinani, that has it right in there. Big problem. Now, before we answer this question, there's 2 ways of answering this question. One way is as follows. Everyone's wrong. No one knows what they're talking about. I'm not going to say any of the 3 in the top of the page. It's a mistake. The authors of the Machzorim put it in there. As we all know, to be an author of a Machzor, to publish it, you have to be an ignoramus. That's the job description. And thus, everyone's wrong. We should skip these parts, take them out of our Machzorim. That's methodology number 1. You know what I call that methodology? Know what I call that? Haughtiness. Haughtiness. Why is it haughty? Why is it gaiva to say that? Because there's a second methodology. And that says as follows. Bruce is sitting here in the year 2020, and with his little Brooklyn Queens accent says, why do we say this?
I'm from Westchester. It's
more I'm sorry, Westchester.
It's a more defined accent.
You have to give credit where credit is due. Let it be Westchester over here. So, you know, here's our friend Bruce. He's sitting here, and he says, how do we have this in our machzor? You know, I'm going to go home and check it out. Because the principle that guides me is that if all the Jewish people are doing it, it must be okay. I don't understand it. Let me go and check. I'll ask a rabbi, a friend. I'll go on Google. If I can't find it on Google, I'll go on some other search engine. But my basic fundamental methodology is if it's being done by all the Jewish people, all the machzorim printed, all the benches have shalom aleichem, everyone's wrong and only I am right. You know, that's there's two methodologies when you deal with questions like this. Methodology number one goes like this. Moshe kibbutz Torah from Sinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. Umesara li, and gave it to me. I love that methodology. It's the height of gaiva. The second methodology is, wait a minute, there's a lot of Jewish people that said these prayers. Let's try to think. Making a mistake or not. So in order to introduce it, I want to share with you one of the greatest poskim of the 20th century. I saw this yesterday. I posted it on Facebook. I thought it was amazing. Rav Moshe Feinstein doesn't need my approbation to say he was the Gadol Hador and the Posek Hador of the 20th century, especially America. In America, I can promise you right now, anyone that grew up in America when Rav Moshe Feinstein was functioning, if you come up with a psak against Rav Moshe, you're not going to sleep well at night. You may decide against him, but you're not going to sleep well at night. It began and ended with Rav Moshe Feinstein. This great Rav Moshe Feinstein, who allowed company milk that's not Chal of Israel. This Rav Moshe Feinstein, who said the Eruv in Manhattan shouldn't be built. This Rav Moshe Feinstein, who said you shouldn't take off on Christmas, on the 25th of December, because it might be supporting Avodah Zarah. This Rav Moshe Feinstein, who came up with the most innovative Psakei Halacha, was asked the following question. Someone sent him a pamphlet that said, you know what the Jews do in Chutz La'aretz with Vetein, Tal, Umata, Livracha? When do they start saying it?
December 4th or 5th.
December 4th or 5th. Well, what is that all about? It's 60 days after the season begins in Bavel. Am I living in Bavel? Are you living in Bavel, Alex? Have you ever thought of living there? You have relatives there. You visit them once a year. They've come visit you, you know, Iraq, Israel, direct flight. No one lives in Bavel. So this gentleman wrote to Rav Moshe, and he keeps his name out. Rav Moshe usually puts in a name. This one he left out. Said, everyone's an ignoramus. They don't know what to do. Everyone's wrong. Listen to the words of Rav Moshe. You ready? What's a machloket? I will get to the machloket, but I'm saying the fundamental. I'm going to get to the machloket. I'm trying to make the point is when someone if one person's doing something, you could say maybe he's wrong. When all the Jewish people are doing it, it's hard for me to go to say everyone's wrong. I'm right. So listen to Rav Moshe. V'tein talumata. The guy said no one knows what they're doing. Hinei akdim tchila klal gadol. I'm going to begin my tshuva to you by putting down the basic fundamental. Asher korel davar shena agin kol Yisrael bedvar talumatar bechutz laaretz shehu shkaga. Everybody is wrong when they start saying v'tein talumatar on December 4th. V'nimtza shekvol tarato choshev shehu gadol yoter mikol rabotenu harishonim v'acharonim u'mikol geonei zmanenu shekulam shagegu b'zeh. And therefore you think you're greater than all the rishonim and achronim and everyone that came before you? They're all wrong. Says Rav Moshe, "V'imchol dikvot Torato." Do respect. May I ask, beg your forgiveness? Shehu yeheruta yetirta. What's yehora? Haughtiness. What's yehura yetarta? Haughtiness to the second power.
Yeter.
Okay. Big. I am so. Not. I'm so great. I'm so great in the power of two. Not only to think it, but to write it. What do you think? Everyone before you was wrong? Try to find an answer, and if you don't, it's still not a problem. Because quite frankly, if everyone did it, it must be the rabbis of that time told them to do it. So we'll find an answer. But it can't be. If everyone's doing it, everyone's wrong. I thought this was a beautiful Rav Moshe. I posted it on Facebook. And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to see if Rav Moshe does this again. And I found endless places where he says, I am of the opinion of X. But don't say why is wrong. They have their rabbis. Now, v'tein talum matar, is that like a big question? Not earth-shaking, right? You say it, you don't say it. Not earth-shaking. Now comes the earth-shaking one. Tell me something. If I use a Shabbos elevator on Shabbos or don't, does it influence you?
No.
No, my business, right? If I go to a shul where women give a Dvar Torah and have a private Megillah reading for women, and you go to a shul where women do nothing because it's Kfira, it's Reform, or whatever, does it make a difference? No, it doesn't really make a big difference. Now, if this person converted, and the convert is going out with my son or daughter, does it make a difference? Oh yes, if you're a Kohen. If you're a Jew and the conversion wasn't proper, then he's marrying a non-Jew, it's intermarried. That's a big thing, right? Rav Moshe says the following about conversion in America. All the conversions done in America, even by Orthodox rabbis, I'm not happy with it. Why? First of all, they're only converting because they want to marry a Jew. And even though b'di'evet, if you convert for marrying for the sake of marrying a Jew, not because you love Judaism, but you met a good Jewish boy, then it's b'di'evet a gerus. They're Jewish. That's only if they accept all the mitzvot. Okay, I came for the wrong reasons, but at the end of the day, I'm going to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and say brachos before I eat. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, even though they tell the rabbis, anyone want to complete the sentence? What they want to hear, of course we're going to keep all mitzvot. You all know they're tricking you at that moment. They're phonies. And says Rav Moshe, okay, so based on my logic, then all the conversion's a bad idea. And if it's a b'di'evit, it's not even chal b'di'evit because they're lying to you. So the question was, in this particular tshuva, should I allow them to use my mikveh? And says Rav Moshe, even though I said all of this, im barav kasher la'asot geirut, lo shayach shem nahalei ha-mikveh lo yanichu lo. If an Orthodox rabbi comes and uses the mikveh for an Orthodox conversion, you don't stop him at the door. Why? Because it's an Orthodox rabbi who has smicha, who has yirat shamayim, who's doing it. So I'm against it. Me, Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's not the only opinion. There's other legitimate opinions. And just for your edification, right after this particular paragraph, he goes on to say why, in his opinion, you can't exactly allow that for the conservative and the reform, and only under certain conditions. But in this case, it's an Orthodox rabbi. And this is the same thing Rav Moshe says about building an Eruv in Manhattan. Last tshuva on the page, Eruv in Manhattan, Rav Moshe Feinstein was against, he thinks it's a Rishut HaRabim, either you put up gates or you don't carry on Shabbos. It's a Rishut HaRabim Dol Raisa. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Be'arti be'arichut be'sifri, no way to build an Eruv in Manhattan.
Well, you got the water all around you. You can do it.
Okay, right, we'll deal with that some other time if water would be a kosher Eruv, also midorabanan.
What about particular neighborhoods that might border, you know, like the Upper East?
We'll have to deal with Eruvin separately. It's one of the topics that I know about, but if we start with now, we'll never get out of it. Now, Jews kill each other on Eruvin, as you all know. Jews love to kill each other on Eruvin. Non-Jews know that Jews kill each other on Eruvin. There was a fine gentleman that was learning every Shabbos b'chavrusa with a gentleman from the neighborhood. And after a while, they got to shul before mincha, and the lights were off. So the chavrusa said, I'll put on the lights. He says, no, it's Shabbos. He says, no, I'm not Jewish. You're not Jewish. You've been learning with me for the last year and a half. I'm not Jewish. But I don't understand. You're a learned gentleman. It says in the Gemara, Goyish Shabbat Chayav Mita. If a goy keeps Shabbos, he's liable for death. You kept Shabbos. You know the halacha. Says there's no fine non-Jew. I didn't keep Shabbos. I violated Shabbos. The Jew says, how? I put a key in my pocket and I carried it. But the Jew says, but there's an Eruv. Says the non-Jew, it's okay. I don't hold from the Eruv. Well, everybody knows we kill each other over Eruvin. Rav Moshe Feinstein knows it, says you shouldn't build an Eruv in Manhattan, and he even says, don't try to convince me. I'm absolutely sure. No Eruv in Manhattan. Now comes the clincher. She'en b'yadeinu limchot b'yad ha-makilin, just as I said there, you can't tell the ones that are carrying they're doing wrong. Why? Why? Hem gam rabbanim gdolim. They're also good rabbis. They have smicha, I have smicha. They came up with a different conclusion than me. We went into the room with the same books. They came out with conclusion number one. I'm conclusion number two. So I showed you these three tshuvas just to show you, first of all, how amazingly humble Rav Moshe Feinstein was. And number two, to show you that if we're going to deal with this question of davening to angels, the assumption has to be what?
Okay.
Maybe that, not that everyone's wrong, but perhaps there is a way to justify it. If one person does something wrong, I get it. Two, I get it. Everyone? Doubt it. So, turn the page and let's see. I quoted Rav Moshe before, I'm going to quote him again. We have various piyutim where we dive into angels. Ultimately, it's a problem. What do we do? 3 points of view. Number one, the Maharal mi Prague. When you deal with this issue with davening to angels, everybody quotes the Maharal from Prague. The Maharal who lived where?
Prague.
Ah, everyone's listening this morning. Great! We shouldn't say it. Why? We have never seen that it's allowed to daven to angels. And even though you could say to someone, daven for me, that's a friend davening for on your behalf to who? To God, not to angels. But angels, lo shayach lomar kein. The Maharal mi Prague says, everyone is wrong. Take it out of the sitters and the machzers and the slichos books. Bad idea. Don't daven to angels. Skip it. Don't daven to angels. The Korban Nitanel, a very famous achron that we learn in the Gemara, says, I love these words. This is when achronim and rishonim wanted to be poetic and say how everyone's wrong, they started with poetry. So it would be swallowed up in the poetry. Now listen to this. Umidei dabri bo zachor eskerenu. Anyone know where that's from?
Aben
Yakir li Ephraim. Very good. The pasuk we say? Where do we say it? Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. You got it. In the Zichronot. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Beautiful. I love the Jewish people. Aben Yakir li Ephraim. I remember them going with me in the desert. Kimidei dabri bo zachor eskerenu ot. Every time I speak about them, I remember them. Whatever that might mean, starts the Korban Netanel. Every time I think about it, I remember what? How terrible it is that in the Machzorim and in the Sidurim, there's prayers to angels. Every time I get to it, every year, I say, this is awful. Why is it so awful? It is as if you're davening to the means that will get to the ends. Who are the means?
The
angels. To the ends? Bad idea. It's against the Rambam we saw. It's against the fundamentals of our faith. You shouldn't say it. The Chasam Sofer brings up the question that ultimately you shouldn't say it as well. Because, with due respect, when you want to get into the prime minister, you come in with the heavy machinery, a lawyer or someone that has protectia to get you in. With God, it's direct. And here it looks like we're going through an emtza'i. Rav Moshe Feinstein in this tshuva says, Veha osrin, those that forbade it, ulai savri, degam mashabiyad amalachim, en litpala lahem lebakesh mihen, en litpala lahem itbarach. Indeed, those that say no, say only daven to God. So, opinion number one of the Maharal, the Chatzam Sofer, don't say it. Take out Barchuni L'Shalom. Take out Machnisei Rachamim. And take out that part of the Hineni. If you ask me, what is the first on the list? I would say Hineni. That's like really, real McCoy. In. Machnisei Rachamim, we'll see in a minute how you can maybe understand it differently. And Barchuni L'Shalom, I don't know if that's a prayer as much as like Yaakov did, oh, to the angel, bless me. Whatever it might be. Opinion number one. Opinion number two, the Shutziach Yitzchak that we quoted says the following words. That Reb Chaim Mivalozhin Tamal Masha Olam Nohagim Lomar Belel Shabbat. And therefore he said, Shemi Yom Omdo Adato Lo Amar Bachuni L'Shalom V'chein Malachi Rachamim Ach Lo Ratzal Ligor Bahomim. So the Siach Yitzchak says, look, I'm sure there's a reason for it. I can't find it. Or I found it, but I'm not happy with it. So what am I going to do? Me? Rabbi Weiss. What is Rabbi Weiss going to do? I'm going to skip it. If I'm the Chazan, I'll skip that part. I don't know if you noticed in Hineni and many shuls, the Chazan does skip parts that he doesn't say out loud. Maybe this is one of them, and maybe where it's where it comes from. Suffice it to say that the Siach Yitzchak says, I'm going to skip it, but not in public. And I'm not going to tell people they're doing something wrong. There must be a reason. I just don't know what it is. Amazing? Amazing. So he doesn't say Baruchuni L'Shalom in his house, and he doesn't say Machnise Rachamim, but it's swallowed up because people don't notice. And the third opinion, of course, says it's fine because we have a Yerushalmi that we prayed directly to God. Well, we have another Gemara. Chazal were a lot of people. It wasn't one person. It's Chachameinu, plural, Zichronu Levracha. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Bet, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Lo Olam Yivakesh Adam Rachamim. A person should always ask for mercy. Sheyu Akom Ma'amtzin Et Kochol, Va'al Yiyu Lo Tzarim Milemala. Everyone should work on his behalf, davening to God for his plea, and no one should stop him above. Who's the people that will stop him above?
Angels.
Rashi, Sheyisayehu Malachei Asheret Levakesh Rachamim. Let the angels help me. This is pretty clear, it's okay. The Shibole Halek, it quotes the Gemara, who says, yeah, that's fine. And I have a Medrash that says, Hishbati etchem benot Yerushalayim, a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, and says, Sormer Knesset Zetlam Alachim HaOmdim, Asharei Tvila V'Asharei Dima, Holichu Tvilati V'Dimati L'Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Help me bring my prayer to God. And the Ikros Moshe says the same thing, that ultimately you can daven to angels to help you. You're davening to God, but you're davening to angels to help you. Why? Because God told us that the angels do that. In other words, what's the job description of an angel?
The messenger.
Not the Los Angeles angels, the real angels. To be a messenger. They bring the prayer. So I didn't decide this. God decided it. So I'm davening to God, and I'm asking the angels that God said, this is your job, to do your job. You know, and sure, you can complain to the president of the shul, or you can complain to the janitor directly. Because the janitor is the one that fixes the leak. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, who told us that the angels helps us? God, we have sources. So that shouldn't be a problem. So we have three points of view. One is don't say it. It's a terrible mistake. And tell people about it. The second one is don't say it, but leave the people the way they be. There must be a justification. And number three, it's okay to daven to angels. Okay. Are there solutions to this? Meaning instead of just saying don't say it, do say it. Are there solutions? So I'm going to give you four points to this. The first to the fourth. Number one, the Maharal Miprag says that maybe it's okay. Why? Because we're asking the angels not to give us what we want, but bring my prayer before God. Namely, we're not saying to the angels, please give me $1 million. We're saying to God, please give me $1 million. But what are we doing? We're asking the angels to ask God. It's like Bruce asks Dr. Savir to ask me to give a shir. You're not praying to Dr. Savir to give the shir, you're asking me to give the shir. But you're going through a proxy. So maybe that's okay. Says the Maharal Miprag, I don't like this idea, because the bottom line is, it says you're davening to angels. Very nice for me to think about it, but it's not what it says. Number two, he says the following words. That, indeed, maybe it means that God have mercy on us, but albeit, we are sitting here and ultimately saying that Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisei Rachameinu, doesn't mean the ones that bring mercy, the angels bring it in, but rather, the actual mercy should come before God. And therefore, what does he do? He edits the prayer. How does he edit the prayer? Anyone? Instead of saying, may the people that bring mercy bring the mercy, what does he say? May mercy come before God. Namely, you're davening directly to God. We're going to see that in a few moments. Of course, he doesn't like that because it seems like the pshat of that particular piyut is not like that. The Chasam Sofer says, I skip it, I don't say it, but because everyone says it, there must be a justification, I got it be swallowed up. How does he do that? He's davening slichos. It's the part of slichos that we don't say together, correct? So no one knows that you're skipping it. No one knows that you're skipping it. Daven a little slower, and then you'll be at the same pace as the rest of the people. Even if you're chazen, no one knows you're skipping it. And finally, the Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Shavi, I forgot what number Aleph is. Anyone? Aleph. Avi? I forgot what it was. My great father, Zichrono Levracha, Rab David Feinstein, his father, said the following. And therefore, what does he do? He changes the words. How does he change the words? For example, there's a piyut that we say on the Slichos before Yom Kippur and at Ne'ilah. It goes like this. Midata Rachamim. Anyone? may the trait of Rachamim, Lefanecha, before you, God, let it be brought. Sounds like you're davening to angels. What did the father of Moshe Feinstein do? Changed the letter. Instead of saying, Midata Rachamim, may mercy come before you, we say, we, the Jewish people, are bringing mercy before you. Midata Rachamim, Lefanecha Napila, the mercy we're asking to bring before you. Vilifnei Konech, not your God, but Vilifnei Koneinu, our God, we're going to go pray. So what do? You change the words a little bit so you don't omit. On the other hand, you don't pradavin to angels. And he gives you the exact protocol of how to do it and when to do it. And then he says that indeed in his house, they didn't sing Shalom Aleichem totally. They skipped Barchuni L'Shalom. Why did they skip Barchuni L'Shalom? Because that's really requesting, but he didn't totally eradicate Shalom Aleichem. There's Shalom Aleichem, there's Boachem, there's Tzeitchem. Maybe that's the reason they say it three times, so it'll be swallowed up. People don't notice you're skipping it. I'm wondering, all the times you say things quietly, maybe it's because of this. So in Tzlichos we say it quietly, no one knows you're skipping, and we say it three times Friday night because of it. So the solutions were, either you understand the words differently, you change the words, or you skip it and you let it be swallowed up. Well, everyone should go home this Shabbos and decide what they're going to do. Do you say it? Don't you say it? I have to be honest with you. Because of this Rav Moshe Feinstein, I didn't do something that I wanted to do. Before my son's bar mitzvah recently, we printed a bencher in which every family member gave a little peirush on one of the zmiros. So it was a family adventure. Now, because I was printing the bencher, so I thought, I'll put Shalom Aleichem with Boachem, little asterisk, go down. Some people don't say it because it's like davening to angels. Please see A, B, C, and D. And thank God in my office I have a wonderful secretary, a graphic designer who told me that's a stupid idea. Why? First of all, no one's going to read the footnote. Second of all, those who are going to read the footnote, they're going to feel bad that they're saying it. So you're not going to gain anything. Either they're going to ignore it, or they're just going to feel bad. And she was right. I just printed it the way it is. And when I celebrate my own Shabbos, I do what I do. And quite frankly, what I think about this issue is that when we go ahead and we say things are wrong or right, be very careful. Maybe there are indeed correct and we're wrong. So you want to skip it, you can skip it. Don't make a big scene about it. If everyone's doing one thing and you're doing the other, don't make a scene. It was very much like I once saw in a hotel on Shabbos. As you know, you have to light Shabbos candles. Hotels and Shabbos candles don't jive well. They don't let you light fires in the rooms. That's where you're supposed to light Shabbos candles. So they put a little table outside the dining hall. It seems to me that the table outside the dining hall is useless because you can either light candles where you sleep or where you eat. Outside the dining hall is neither. And for many reasons, I think it's not a good idea. But everyone does it, including I've seen rebbetzins of great rabbis. So my wife asked me my honest to goodness opinion. I told her, and then she said, don't butt into our women's issues. And that was it. Fine. Now,
told you all.
Take the same scenario. A gentleman comes by. 25 women are lighting Shabbos candles, which, as you know, for women is a very emotional, beautiful moment. And he tells them, I saw it. I went up to this fine gentleman, introduced myself, and I said to him, may I ask you one question? Just one question. In Hebrew, I said to him, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? The Rebbetzin's wife of this great rabbi's lighting candles. She's lighting candles. All the hotels do it. And you come along and say everyone's wrong? Yes. Yes. I said to him, okay, that could be. Everyone's wrong. Tell me something. Why are you wearing a hat? You have to wear a hat to davening. I don't know. You go into Bibi Netanyahu, you're going to wear a hat? No, I'll take it off. So you look ridiculous. You look like a clown. You're coming before God Almighty like a clown, but everyone wears it. What did you say? Everyone wears it. Oh, everyone does it, and therefore you do it? Something to think about. I walked away. Now, on this issue, I think the same thing. Don't make people feel bad for the sake of feel bad. You want to skip it, you can skip it. We gave a whole shiur on it. But quite frankly, you don't make people feel bad unless there's a good bona fide reason. If someone's eating chametz on Pesach, you could tell them, if they care, you're eating chametz on Pesach. I'm pretty sure. Everyone agrees that's wrong. But this, as you saw, many people say it, to go along and say, everybody's wrong? It can't be. And I want to end with the following shut, and I hear your question. The Shut Yehuda Yale was a rabbi from Hungary. He basically was at the time of the Chasam Sofer in 19th century, but lived after him, took over after him, as a matter of fact, in the sake of, he was the Posek of Hungary. He writes a beautiful shut, and he says that we have this piyut, it's like davening to angels, we don't know why, it seems like it's wrong. Listen to these words. Hine siftei tzadik yadun ratzon lo michal harabim v'lo aspum lo ma'berechlet. Beautiful way of saying, people do it, and the rabbis kept quiet. So who am I to come along and say it's wrong? And then he says, if my great rabbi, Rav Mordechai Benet, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, didn't say anything about changing the words, I wouldn't say anything. But because he did it, so I'm continuing and standing on his footsteps. So I davened many years with my Rebbe, Rav Amital Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was the Chazan Ben Ashar for Ne'ilah. He did change the words, like Rav Moshe Feinstein's father. He did. Now, I am absolutely positive that if he was davening somewhere else, he wouldn't go up to the Chazan and tell him, change the words. Because not only does he come from Hungary, it was just common sense. If everyone's doing it, maybe there is a justification, and we couldn't find it. This year we found two justifications. One is you could daven to angels, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And number two, maybe it just means the angels, your job is to bring my tefillos. Who decided that? God. I'm not telling you, angel, to give me my request of winning the lottery. I'm not you, angel, giving me my request to make sure that this rabbi I can't stand should drop dead. Go under the chuppah with his daughter and get an epileptic attack under the chuppah and drop dead. I'm not asking the angel, I'm asking God. But God's not going to listen to me because God said, the angels bring the tefillos. So I say, angel, do me a favor, I hate this guy. Can you please ask God to kill him? I hope the angel will say, sorry, don't do that. But that's davening to God, albeit through someone else. Certain people didn't like that. Other people said it was okay. So, quite frankly, I believe that if you want to come out of this year with one thing, come out with the following notion. If all the Jewish people are doing it, drink a lot of water before telling them they're wrong.